basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning, good morning, good morning! Hey, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. Sunday, November 9th. If there was a Sunday to miss, that would not be the Sunday. So we're all going to be in here. Everyone's going to be in my class that Sunday. So children's classes, everyone will be here. Veterans Day is Tuesday, November 11th, known as Armistice Day, the war to end all wars. That was World War I. So that's Remembrance Day. But the day before it, there's even an older tradition. It's the Marine Corps birthday. 250. That's on Monday the 10th. So Sunday the 9th, invite family, friends, anyone military. It's going to be that type of a thing. And then if you're military, if you're military, you can wear your uniform of your last highest rank and medals and stuff. So you can do that. Just dress appropriately, grooming standards, that kind of stuff. Some veterans don't want to get a haircut, and shave their beards. But I would ask you, for those of you who are veterans or you know veterans, tell them to wear something from their insignia, something from their unit, where they were stationed. But bring that, and it's going to be. I've been working on the message for a while, so it's a special Sunday, and that is a great time to invite family and friends, coworkers, just something special going on, not just military. But we're going to be honoring the military that Sunday the 9th, because it's Veterans Day weekend that weekend and that Tuesday. So Sunday the 9th, it's on the calendar as what Veterans Day is, but we're here every Sunday. And that'll be both services 9/11. So we'll all be in here together, and it'll be a good time. And I will speak appropriately, nothing like you hear on Thursday nights. It'll be family friendly all the way around. So kids won't be leaving here asking, Mom, what does that word mean? So we'll go for there. Hey, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. So we're continuing our study through the Gospel of Mark here. So Lord Jesus, as we looked up and we prayed for those people that are on our cards that we're praying for, that would be a good Sunday to bring them to church, invite them to come. So Lord, we lift up these names that we're praying for, that they would come to know you, Savior, your Lord, even preparing the way for them to receive Jesus, you, that Sunday. But God, for those who have been orphaned, they don't have a church. Really, we're the church, Lord. They have us, but a place to gather with other believers. God, that they would make this their place. And so we lift up those to you. Lord, may we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more submitted. Man, just more in love with you than when we came here this morning as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 1,286 times the word and is used here in the New Testament, but no more in one considered a book here, or considered more, the word and. The Gospel of Mark. Mark is talking to us. He's writing in a way that is if you're right there. In other words, as you're reading it, you should be seeing it. He's writing in the present tense form of writing, not just in past, not yet the future. These are eyewitness accounts, and he's writing these things. So, and he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered to him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, this is early in the morning. I don't know why it is, but if you fall overboard, I was in the Marines, so we had to learn this as Marines going on ships, but if you fall overboard during the day, you could yell for help, and someone, even from an aircraft carrier, people could hear you. But at night, if you fall over, and you're an overboard, no one can hear you. There's just something about the acoustics. And the same way at the Sea of Galilee. Remember, Jesus is at Capernaum, and he's on the western side. He's on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. And I just showed some youth that I was taking up north to Brainerd, and they saw the Lake Mille Lacs, and they're like, that's a lake? And you couldn't see across it. The Sea of Galilee is about a third that size. So when I first went to Israel in 97, I'm like, why do they call that a sea? Well, if you're an inlander and that's the only big body of water that you're around, you call that a sea, but everyone else calls it a lake. But Lake Mille Lacs is huge. Sea of Galilee, it's only 5 to 7 miles wide at its widest point. It's only 13 miles from north to south. So we just call that an average lake in Minnesota. And so here, on this. Now, during the daytime, it was interesting when I take people to Israel. I like to go on that part of the Sea of Galilee where you would see the Mount of Beatitudes were, but where Jesus taught his disciples. And we're a half mile up on the mountainside. Listen, a mountain, anything over 1,000 feet is considered a mountain, all right? Anything below that, it's a hill or whatever, foothills. But so this isn't a couple of thousand feet high. It's just barely 1,000 feet. And it's sloping. It's like a natural amphitheater there. And as before I was teaching and going through Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, down on the shore or down in the boat was a couple of fishermen, and they were arguing. Half mile to just under three quarters of a mile, we could hear them clearly early in the morning. This was early in the morning. We could hear them clearly. Couldn't speak Hebrew, didn't know what it was like, but they were very agitated, and they were talking to one another. All right? Could have been a father and son learning how to fish. Anyways, it could have been that. But we heard them. And so therefore, it's no problem to realize that Jesus could be talking to 5,000 people sitting on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they could hear him because it's a natural upsloping, natural amphitheater. And it's the only area around the Sea of Galilee that's like that. I'll get to my reasons why the other places didn't work out, what tour guides like to say. But this is the only natural amphitheater, and you can, again, hear them clearly. We come back later, and that's what I do. I come back later in the evening or like around 5 or 6 in the afternoon when we're going back to the hotel, and I'll position somebody who was upsetting me that day. I'll kick them off the bus, and I'll put them down there, and then we'll go back up the mountain and start yelling. We'll telephone them, start yelling, and you can't hear them. I don't know why it is, but early in the morning, you can hear all the way, but at night, you can't. But thus I digress, we're here now. And so he pulls out a little boat, because remember what's happening, there's many throngs of people crowding around him, all right? And so he pushes away a little bit on a boat, he wants to talk to them. If you want a correlating passage, this is Matthew chapter 13 as well. I'm not going to get it, so if you want details. Gospel of Mark was written to Romans, dictated to John Mark by the Apostle Peter as he was in Rome, and he's writing to the Romans. And it's very quick. It goes from one thing to the next, one thing to the next, and it just shows Jesus serving and serving. So if you want a fuller detail, you read the Gospel of Matthew about the kingdom parables. So he pulls away on this ship from land, and he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his doctrine, hearken. This word parable means throw alongside. That's what the Greek word means. It means to throw alongside, and it's a way to illustrate a point. You're going to take something that everybody knows, and you're going to make application for it. So he tells them this parable. And hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth. Immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no fruit. And some fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up, increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he that has ears, let him hear. Do you have ears? Can you all hear? This is for everyone. We're going to see this phrase used a lot in the book of Revelation, the first few chapters, when he's speaking to the churches there. And it's just interesting because everyone at this time, maybe you don't, you're a city folk like I am, and you don't understand. He's just taking something. And this is the simplicity of God's word today. This is how simple it's going to be. Seeds are seeds. What do you think seeds mean? Seeds, sowing. There's still going to be farmers. There's still going to be seeds. There's still going to be, and now you're seeing harvesting going on. If you're driving at night through some of the farm fields, you see the lights going on with the combines, and they're harvesting their grain, and they're doing things. So seeds are still seeds. They still mean what they mean. The farmers are still farmers. The ground is still ground, all stuff. But Jesus is going to throw alongside. He's going to use a parable, and he's going to get an application and get something across to them. But there's a question that goes on here. And in verse 10, and he was alone that they asked him. So again, there's multitudes that are following him. So again, this is a parable he's saying out on ship. The many thousands of people are listening to him. It's obviously early in the morning, and he can hear it, and he can say it, they can hear it. But then when he gets later to his disciples, remember, there's a multitude following him. There's a lot of people following him. And from that multitude, there's disciples. And from that disciples, what we saw last week, He picked 12 to be apostles, to be leaders of those disciples as well. And it says, when they were alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him. So with him, about him. So his disciples and the apostles, the 12, asked him of the parable. And he said to them, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to them that are outside, all these things are done in parables. In other words, it's hiding a truth in plain sight, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You know, he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. It's about the only Old Testament reference that Mark's going to give. He's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to Roman Christians there. And so here he quotes this. But again, he talks about in parable, because remember what in the last chapter, and the last chapter, chapter 3, correlates with the last part of the chapter of Matthew chapter 12, is that they equated Jesus, they created the great blasphemy of rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they said, you're of the devil, you're of the Lord of the flies, Beelzebub. And Jesus said, hey, the kingdom of God could have been established at this time if you would have accepted John the Baptizer as in the spirit of Elijah, and you would have received me as the Messiah, the coming one. The kingdom of God could have been. God technically and legally and could have made his kingdom established right then and there. We know it as the second coming. He is going to establish a kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. In Latin, it's called millennium. It's the millennial kingdom. And he's going to be talking about that. But he says here to them, to you, that's you and I, you the you. You are the you and I are the yous in this thing. To the mysteries. It understands. He's taking something. But he's going to give application. If you'd like to get a good commentary on the Bible so you can understand the Bible, just get a good Bible. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. Jesus is going to tell us what he's trying to get across to them. But he says to them that they seeing may see, verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He says to them, verse 13, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? He wants them to know everything. This is like the beginner's course. I want you to know this parable. We have certain parables. We have throw-along things. Well, like, listen, I'm pre-trib. In other words, the rapture of the church will be before the tribulation. But I'm not only pre-trib. Again, I'm pre-trib, pre-millennial. In other words, the millennial kingdom before the tribulation. The millennial kingdom will come after the tribulation. The church is going to be raptured. You and I are the church. We don't go to church. The church goes to a gathering. You and I are the church. And we're going to be raptured out. I am so pre-trib that I feel guilty every time I eat post-toasties. You get that? That's what it comes down to, is that I'm right there with it in this thing. But that means something to you if you understand that. Here's some things. If you understand the rapture, I could say to you, in a crowd, I could say to you, turn or burn, fly or fry, get right or get left. If you understand the rapture, you understand that Bible joke, you're like, oh, I get that. But to the outside, like, huh? What? One of the things to identify spies in the underground church, that during the Cold War, especially in the Soviet Union, that before the Iron Curtain fell, before, you know, it was opened in Russia there, and it's no longer the Soviet Union, one of the ways they identified somebody new who was coming to their gathering. In fact, they made it a point to make sure that they wouldn't lie. They say, hey, where do you go to church? And they're like, I don't go to church. You see, because they understand biblically, they were the church. I don't go to myself. You and I are the church. So they weren't lying. They wanted to do everything they could to not lie, but not, you know, give away their fellow brothers and sisters. One of the other things that they learned is they learned names and numbers of Christians who had already died, either at torture or were martyred, and they memorized their names. And so whenever the government official would say, give us names and we'll let you go right now, they would give them names and numbers and addresses. And it's not like now where they could look it up online. It would take them weeks, especially the secret police, to go find out, and they would come back and say, hey, these people are dead. You didn't ask if they were alive. It's just like when the first carpool lanes opened up. I love this story, man. The first carpool lanes opened up. A guy driving a hearse got a ticket for driving in the carpool lane, and he beat the ticket. Because when he went to court, he presented to the judge and says, it says right here, you got a carpool, it's one more person, so it can't be by yourself. He goes, that person was dead. The law does not say they have to be alive. The judge goes, good point. So that's why when you read the carpool, it says alive. That was put in there because someone beat the ticket. Alive. You didn't say they have to be alive. See, that's why I'm conflicted. Some of you have a problem maybe with pornography or going online and doing those things. That's not my issue. I'm conflicted of watching movies with really good criminals. I know I should say they're bad. Kimberly often looks at me. She says, you know who the hero is in this movie, but who are you rooting for? I'm conflicted. I'm just an old criminal, so it's hard for me. That's my sin. That's what I struggle with, especially when it's a really good criminal and you're not supposed to like them. That's my confliction. So that's my sin. Pray for me. And you could see some crime movie and you're like, I bet I know who chick's rooting for. I do. All right. I know they're bad people, but if they're really smart, I like it. If they're dumb, they deserve to get caught. All right. I'm okay with that. And I'll look at that's a dumb criminal. He's going to get caught. Kimmy said, could you quit ruining the movie for me? But do you understand that's insider lingo? I can say certain parables. I can say certain things. That's what Jesus is doing. He says, but for you, the mystery. Do you mean something more between a sower and a seed? So one of the things that the underground church would do to detect spies is they would ask the new person to pray when they get together for their gatherings. They wouldn't call it church. But a group of people getting together at a certain time of night during the week, and the secret police would infiltrate them, and they'd say, hey, you're the new guy. Hey, well, why don't you pray? Have you ever heard a non-believer pray? Maybe you are a non-believer and you're getting found out right now. You ever heard someone just, we just thank you, baby Jesus. I like baby Jesus. Or I pray and just thank you and our Father. And they just start doing all types of stuff. It's like the kid who finally had the nerve to ask a girl out for a date at school, the prettiest girl. And she finally accepted to go to the movies. And he says, you know what? I'm going to go to the candy store, and I'm going to get some candy. He goes to the candy store, and he tells the candy, and he says, what do you need? I got a date with the prettiest girl. I want a 1-pound box of chocolate, a 3-pound box of chocolate, and a 5-pound box of chocolate. Candy store owner's like, what's that for? And he goes, well, if she lets me hold her hand during the movie, I'm going to give her a 1-pound box of chocolate. And during the movie, if she lets me put my arm around her, I'm going to give her a 3-pound box of candy. And if at the movie she lets me hug her and give her a kiss, I'm going to give her a 5-pound box of candy. Candy store owner goes, wow, kid, that's nice. Well, the one requirement was is that he had to go over and meet the parents for dinner to pick her up. They're old-fashioned. They go there. He meets the parents. He sits down for dinner. And the dad looks at him and says, why don't we have your date pray for the meal tonight? And he prayed the most eloquent prayer. He prayed for all the missionaries in the world, starting with each country alphabetical and each missionary, Anderson's in Africa. I mean, it was an eloquent prayer. I mean, the food was getting cool. He prayed for world peace. He and how much he loved God. And well, dinner was over and they leave to go on their date. And the girl looks at him and says, wow, I didn't know you could pray like that. He goes, yeah, and I didn't know your dad owned a candy store. So they would say the new guy, are you spiritual or whatever? And they would say, and if the guy couldn't pray or whatever, and he did that, you know, the kid getting a date, dinner, and the candy store owner, they would know these things here. And so here he's talking to them in parables here. Remember, they already said, they already blasphemed. They already said that you're of Satan. You're of the devil. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to know all these things. That's why the Bible, when we read through the New Testament especially, says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand. I'm trying to make this clear. The Bible is simple, folks. That's why it's called B-I-B-L-E. The Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. If all else fails, read the instructions. But I'm one of those guys who do read the instructions. I go through the manual of every tool I ever get, everything I get. I read through the manual. Not that I could know everything, but just so I'm familiar with the manual because I know I'm going to break this thing, so I need to know how to get back to where I need to troubleshoot. But I read all the manual, I read everything, I read all the lawyers' advices and stuff and what not to do and stuff. Basically, the first page is, hey, don't operate this thing and you won't die. And then all the other things is, okay, you're obviously going to operate this thing. You might die if you do this. You might die if you do that. Don't do that. And so I read the manual. And so that's what I'm trying to do because I know I'm going to break it. And that's why I read the Bible. And that's why I'm still reading the Bible. I'm trying to break it. If I can break this Christianity, if it's not true, it's the longest phase I've ever been in, 44 years. I don't think I'm going to get over it. But it's simple. The word of God is so shallow that a babe will not drown in it, yet it's so deep that you'll never reach the bottom. Study God's word here. And so he says to you, it's been known these things. God wants us to know these things. He wants us to keep these things simple. And so he says here, and he said to them, know you not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? So now here's our education. Here's what he's going to say. The sower sows seeds. He's talking to people who are farmers. They know agriculture. Yeah, Jesus, we know seeds. We know this. We know it grows. We know this. And we know it brings forth fruit. What do you mean? The sower sows the word. Oh, the word of God. Okay. And these are they that by the wayside, everybody's here. In other words, what's the ground? Well, we know our heart are ground. We're the ground. And these are they that by the wayside, which where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, I know this as you're evangelizing, you're sharing your faith. When we first, we're evangelizing and still evangelizing, but we're evangelizing kids in our neighborhood. And one kid came over and she brought a friend. She came over and she says, I had to know about Jesus. She'd been coming to our weekly Bible studies with about 35 other kids. And she wanted to know. And I said, okay. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to start talking to you, and I want you to understand this. I'm going to start talking to you, but there'll be a knock at the door, and someone's going to try to get you out of our house. She's like, what? It's a spiritual thing. Someone's going to try to come and get you out of this house. They're going to do everything they can. So let's start talking. So I started sharing the Lord with them. 15 minutes later, boom, boom, knock on the door. She's like, oh, no way. And a friend of hers says, oh, hey, come on, we're going to go such and such. Let's just go. Stop talking to that freak. And she stood there the whole time, and I go, see what I mean? Someone's going to try to interrupt this conversation. It happens at the coffee house all the time when we're sharing the Lord with people. It's happened when we're outreaching, wherever we go. There's always going to be somebody who's going to come up. This is it. So be aware of that, Christian. Someone's going to try to come and interrupt this, and you need to be ready for it. Don't be shocked and surprised. I'm so much so said, listen, and when I ask permission, when I share with someone, I share my testimony with them, and I say, can I share with you how you can know for sure that you'll go to heaven when you die? That your relationship with God makes you sure with that. Will you go to, they're like, sure. Well, before I do, can I get your insights on one more question here? What would you say God's requirements are for you to get into heaven? I'm like, why? And they tell them, I said, now listen, before we're through here, someone's going to try to distract you. So let's be ready. And that's why I always tell you, go out with another person. One person could be praying and the other person could be sharing because lo and behold, something's going to come up. And for you, if you go out and you're sharing with people and you're praying and you see that distraction coming, you who are praying, go be the distraction for the distraction. It's just how it works. It's just going to happen. Maybe now you're thinking back like, right, every time. And now with the Latin word Satan interruptus, known as your cell phone, all of a sudden there's a call that's I'm just thinking about calling you. Really? And I'm like, caca! It's the birds coming. It's the birds coming. He tells them here, these are thrown by the wayside, the seed. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, and when they have heard the word immediately, they receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, and afterwards when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So in other words, the sun comes up. There's a little heat to it. And what are you talking about there? Because you can throw, there's moisture, you can throw seeds and it can land on rocks that have little divots in it. And there's some moisture, there could be some water there and it sprouts up, but because it's rock, there's no depth, there's no root, it won't grow. The sun comes and scorches it and withers it away. So when there's a little heat coming, that's it, that's as far as it. And these that are which are sown amongst the thorns, and as I hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Well, you don't understand. I'm unique. Yes, you are. Each, every one of you are individuals and you're unique and special, just like everyone else. And so here's the thing, but you don't understand. I can't become a Christian. You don't understand. This is, you don't understand. I've got life goals and pursuits and things. You don't understand the cares of this world. Choke it out. And these that are which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Here's the thing. You're just going to grow. You're a Christian. You're going to be watered. You're going to plant. And you're just allowed to grow. There's going to be changes in your life because you're going to grow. And he says here, is a candle brought to put under a bushel or under a bed and not set on the candlestick? Do you light a candle and hide that light? He says, no. Now, if you want a fuller, deeper explanation of these parables, go to Matthew chapter 13. But Mark is just getting it quick. For there is nothing hidden that shall not be manifest, neither was there anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. Look at verse 22. This is one of many verses that I use. But I was a liar, I was a thief, I was a criminal, I confidence man, I did all kinds of stuff growing up in the family business of crime. And right there, I looked at verse 22. No one ever taught me this on a Bible study. I just said, well, I learned very early on that God loves me. Loves all of you too, by the way, but I'm the object of this analogy right now. God loves me so much. The good news is he'll never take his eyes off me. That's also the bad news because I have a propensity to do evil. You know, my sin is watching crime movies and rooting for the criminals, right? And so here, so I just said, you know what? If this Christianity isn't true, the Bible's not true, Jesus really isn't God, I'm going to break it. I'm going to be so bluntly honest and open and transparent that if this isn't real and the body of Christ, other Christians are not real and for loving and forgiving, then I can just get this done and over with. Man, I went to people that I offended, that I've ripped off, that I've stole from, or I've hurt, and I've asked for forgiveness. And most of my family and friends would say, are you in the 12-step program again? No, too many steps. I can't do that. I'm just into the one step. What's the one step? Just make one step to Jesus. That's it. I'm in the one-step movement. And then to find out there's Christians who still held on to grudges, and then like, okay, but for the majority, like, okay. And for you, none of you have an attachment to me, having an experience with me ripping you off, robbing you, destroying your lives, taking all your money. You don't have that. So these are just stories to you. Like, oh, wow, okay, chick's a big cuddly bear, teddy bear right now. And okay, you aren't someone who had to deal with my sin. But I can tell you, I tried to break it and I would go to those people. So I'm just going to be open, honest, and transparent. I'm going to, again, my best to lie. I was so used to lying that someone would say something, oh yeah. And I go, you know what, that's not true. I don't know why I agreed or I said that. It's just such a dumb lie. And they're like, wow. And it would start to affect people around me. I don't want to lie. And so here, because that was so prevalent. So I looked at a verse like this. So you do whatever you want. The Holy Spirit is really who's teaching you here today. We come together as a gathering. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that you actually need no man to teach you, that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things that you need to know. We come together, we get a little deeper, we learn a little bit more. We have come in this gathering. I'm giving you application. You're learning from my life. We learn from each other. And so here, the Holy Spirit could be sharing something. I'm just saying, I read verse 22, and this is one of many verses where I'm endeavoring to be open, honest, and transparent in the light. Because, man, I sleep good at night. As far as I know, I don't have a problem, or none of you have issues with me. If I've offended you and hurt you, very well could be happening. Come and talk to me. I'm just going to let you know if it's been more than a few weeks, if someone came to me and said, you know, 6 months ago you did this. Okay. Please forgive me. But you've been holding on to this for how long? And then we're going to have another Bible study about, you know. Well, that offends me. That offends me that I offended you 6 months ago that you didn't say anything. Just say something. See, the Bible tells me, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. While it's still today, take care of it. Settle matters with your adversary quickly, right now while you have it. And if not, man, when I can get sleep, or I really don't sleep for long hours. I take multiple naps throughout the night because I'm My body's such racked in pain, but I want to have at least a couple of good hours of sleep, so I don't want to have aught with one another. And if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear, more shall be given. Peter Parker and Spider-Man did not come up with great power. Comes great responsibility. Someone had to be a Christian, a Marvel writer, because this right here, you know, be careful how you judge, for the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measures used to you, you'll be measured back to you. And know these things. There is a truth to that. Too much is given, much is required. He says, but be careful what you hear, what you put in you. Verse 25, for he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken, even that which is his. You're trying to hold on to what little thing you're holding on to, that's going to be gone. But if you're faithful and you're increasing and you're growing, you're going to be given more because you can handle more responsibility. And he said, so it is the kingdom of God, as is a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise at night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how, for the earth brings forth fruit of itself, for the blade, then the air, and after that, the full corn in the air. It's all there. I don't know how it does it. Now, I've talked to some farmers, and I've talked to some farmer kids, man, and I don't know this for true because I'm not going to spend a night on the farm, and I'm not going to find out if it's true, but if it's you can tell me. You can actually hear corn growing at night? You can? Okay, I'm going to just take your word for it because you're wearing a flannel, and I believe you. All right, so there we go. That's credibility with me. You're a professor. Okay. But no, I'm a city guy. I'm going home. I hear corn growing. I start thinking all kinds of other things. So here's the thing, folks. It comes down to it. But he says, but I don't know how it does it. For he that has to him. Okay, so but God says he casts the seed. Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts a sickle, puts in the sickle or the combine because the harvest is come. And their fruit, if you don't harvest it, it's just going to rot. And you're going to be worse than before. And he said, there, wherefore to them? He says, whereto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Remember, he's talking kingdom of God here. It shall be like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out with great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Jesus is going to give us more fuller explanation of this mustard seed and about the kingdom. But it is the smallest and the tiniest of seeds, and it's a bush, and it doesn't turn into a tree. So there's something abnormal here. This is going to grow. And he's talking to you and I. And when with many such parables, so go to Matthew chapter 13 if you want to know more in depth. And with many such parables spoke he the word to them as they were able to hear it. Might not totally understand it all. But what you do understand, that is what you're accountable for. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. So they're on the northwestern side of the Sea of Galilee. And they're going to go over to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. We're going to see from chapter 5, it's the land of the Gadarenes. It's the pagan side. It's the unsaved side. It's the non-righteous side. It's the non-kosher side. So he's ditching the crowds. He's going over to the eastern side. He says, let's pass over. And when they had set away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, care you not that we perish? Perish. And he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. At some point, you're going to need to grow where your prayers are no more like, Jesus, wake up! I'm having trouble here. That there's going to be a quiet confidence that you have. And it's okay if you have that right now. But you might just be producing 30-fold or 60-fold. Not at that 100-fold yet. because your relationship is one of that you think Jesus doesn't know what you're going through. And you can actually get upset. Now listen, they awoke him because they were upset. They're freaking out. Now these are experienced fishermen. They've been on the Sea of Galilee, most of them. There's some tax collectors, there's a zealot, there's some politicians, there's some political people, but the majority of them are fishermen. And the thing about this sea, which is way smaller than Lake Mille Lacs, but I've been on the Sea of Galilee when that northeaster comes through the northwestern part from off the Mediterranean, and we're hopping 8-foot swells on a big boat that holds 50 of us, and we're like, whoa. And we'll say, you know what, call the bus driver, have him meet us over on the other side because we're not making it back to the western side. Have us meet us over at the other kibbutz and they can pick you up there, right? It's not like Lake Mille Lacs where it's going to take a couple hours to get around, right? And so here they wake him up because he's asleep. Don't you care? The rest of us are all, see, this is another indication that they don't realize who he is. That's why it's after his resurrection and after he's with them for hanging out for 40 days and then he sends up to heaven, and they go, oh, that's what he meant. That's what he meant when he said, my friend Lazarus, sleep, let's go. And he was reported that Lazarus died for, you know, days earlier. And they said, let us rise and go with Jesus and we will sleep. We will go and sleep with him. And say, what, you're going to start a napping ministry? That's when Jesus said he had to turn around and tell them, he's dead. I was just saying sleep because to him it's going to be like sleeping for the rest of you, but he's dead. And they're like, oh, yeah, we don't want to go die with him. That's really what there's going on there. Napping ministry, I'm with you. Dying ministry, dead, not really with you. Jesus says, but you will. That comes later. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You mean the God I love, the God I serve, the God that saved my soul, is shocked and surprised? You see, this is about having a relationship with the Lord, that you're sure what God is that called you to, showed you what to do, because there's going to be, and I believe from the Gospel of Matthew and others, that this was a demonic storm. It said it's a contrary wind in one of the other Gospels there. And Jesus speaks to it, peace be still, the same way that he speaks to those who are demon-possessed. Be still and come out of them. So, but that's not a salvation issue. You got a different view. That's fine. Peace be still. But here's the thing. He was asleep. You know, it's just, you just got to stay calm. That's the biggest thing you got to do is just stay calm. And as I told my boys as they were going off to war in the military, then I said, listen, battle plans are great. But I know from personal experience, when that first bullet whizzes by your head and you're still alive, there goes the plan. Remember your training, do these things, and do this. One calm voice can calm everybody. Can calm everybody. You know, I would read stories of guys in combat, especially World War II. And until I became a Christian, I did not understand why this guy did this. But there's a story of a man who was mocked for his faith. He was the medic. And the Marines, the Navy takes care of the Marines. They're called corpsmen, but he's the doc. He's the doc. And he was mocked for his faith, for being a Christian. And as this platoon was going through, this is after D-Day, and they're in Europe there, and one of the guys blew up because on a landmine. And this whole platoon of about 30-plus soldiers, army guys, are frozen. Because now they know they're in a minefield because they're trying to get to this town. And like, what do we do? And the medic, who'd been the whole time, had been mocked for his faith, says, I tell you what, guys, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for every step that God shows me the way out. And if somewhere along the line I blow up, know that you're good to that point. And he prayed over every step, and he made it out of the minefield. He said, now, guys, take your knives, your K-bars out, and, you know, and they slowly find out where my footsteps are and put your feet in my exact footprints and follow me out. And the whole platoon was saved. I said, wow, that was, as a Marine, I go, that's brave. But when I became a Christian, I go, oh, I understand that. And then when we go out on patrols and maneuvers, whether it be training or if it would ever came to be real, I would always say, I'll walk point. I'll go out front. I'll take the first shot. Because my relationship made me sure that I'll go to heaven when I die. So I have no problem taking a bullet. I'd rather I go altruistic. It means I'd go to heaven. I mean, you understand that. But I'll walk a mile ahead of it, and I'll clear the area, and I'll walk on point, and I'll try to detect the enemy. And that's the guy. That's what a guy does on point. He either takes the bullet or finds out where the booby traps are, and he warns everybody else. I get that now as a believer, if you have that. And so here, Jesus is just asleep on the pillow. And people wake, don't you care? Don't you care? Yeah, I do. Peace be still. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith in him? He's already done an incredible amount of miracles. Here's the other thing, Christian. He's already told them the plan. He's already told them that he's going to die at the hands of the Pharisees and the Romans. He's going to be crucified. He's going to raise back from dead. He's told them it's not going to happen until he gets to Jerusalem. He told them everything ahead of time. They made no correlation of it. He's not going to die on this boat. He's right there. But you're with me. You're okay. You're with me. I got this. Why are you so fearful? Well, because they looked at the storms. They looked at it. And these are experienced fishermen. Not a lot, you know, makes them nervous. But this storm did. It was something abnormal to them. So I pray that you get to that point where your prayers are no more long or like, wake up, Jesus! But if you know where God has called you and what he wants you to do, and he simply just wants to speak to you. Seeds are seeds. Sowers, farmers are farmers. Grain is grain. Harvesting is harvesting. But it's the same way in yours and I's life. If we are sown by the word of God, in fact, that's why it tells us in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle tells us, husbands, wash your wives with the water of the word of God. It has a lot of comparisons here. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Remember, Jesus says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The plans that I have for you, Jeremiah, the plans I have for you are one to bring you peace and to prosper you and to bless you. Oh, by the way, Christian, it's not up to you and I to make a list for God of what you think would prosper, what you would like to be prospered with. And what you would got that here, God, if you want to make me happy, oh no. Happiness isn't in the Bible, it's in our U.S. Constitution. And you're only guaranteed the pursuit of happiness. You can't sue the government for not being happy. I'm not happy because there would be a lot of lawsuits, right? You only get the guarantee of the pursuit of happiness. Your happiness is dependent upon you. But this peace, be still. And here's the other thing. Jesus, again, declares himself God. Because in Psalm 48:10, I believe it is, be still and know that I am God. That's what we have to do. And when the world around you and everyone else is freaking out and all the stuff that's going on, they come to you. That's what happened with that one young kid who came to me and wanted to know because they saw the peace. They saw the stuff that was going on in the world at that time, 40 years ago or 36 years ago. And wanted to know how, because of all this going on, could you have this peace? Because I know that I know that I know that God has called me and Kimberly, and my kids come with me. They can age out and go wherever they want, but they're with me. And I know I'm called to Minnesota, called to St. Paul, and to plant churches and to do the things and just to take Minnesota for Jesus. That's what God's called me to do. So I'm not leaving. Property taxes are going up. I hate the corrupt administrations. I don't like our mayor. I pray for him, pray that he gets saved, repents of his sins. I don't like all the stuff that he's doing. I don't like the city of St. Paul mandated that garbage is mandatory now and the city's going to take over trash collection. Government taking over trash collection. We're going to be very efficient and it's going to be better service and stuff. Oh, no. So I hate all that. And if you have the liberty to move out and do that, then I would say go do that. But I love St. Paul, and I'm here. And so it's God's money anyways. If my property taxes are property taxes, well, God's got to provide the money to, you know, pay for that. So he will. But I know this is where I'm called. So I don't sweat it. No big deal. I have faith that I know that God's called me here. So with that, he could speak to me. And I'm surprised when he doesn't clue me into things, because either I'm not listening and my body's full of scars of waving off the Holy Ghost. I think that's been firmly established here. I am a successful failure, right? Amen to that? Amen? You can agree with that. All right, I will say it first. In verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. And this word feared is not like, oh, afraid, but it's one of reverence and awe. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? There's something different about him. That's you and I, Christian. We should be living our lives in such a way. And if you're not, you're still going to heaven. But if we live our lives in such a way, there should be a peace. You can agree that you don't like it, but there should be a peace that goes by all understanding. And when the world's in total chaos, if another scandemic pops up and all these things, we're still not closing the doors and we come here, how can you be at such peace? Because I know that Christ Jesus lives and he lives inside of me and he loves me, forgives me. He forgives my pastor for rooting for criminals when he watches those movies. Forgives me if I've watched anything that I know is inappropriate for me or listen to do all this. I know that God loves me and I'm growing. I'm growing and I'm producing fruit. Is it 100-fold yet? I don't know, but I know I'm producing fruit because I'm just showing up and I'm here. And the only way that you're going to learn this is as we come together in my class in a gathering and we are encouraged. And like I said, this is the Holy Spirit teaching you. It might not be any of the words that were spoken in Mark 4. It might not be any of my pithy sayings or my lame analogies and application in my own life. But the Holy Ghost right now is showing you something. And if he's not, you might need to reread. Because why isn't he? If you can't hear God speaking to you right now, I'm telling you as a Christian, radio God's turned off, man. There's something. You might be thinking, well, I just think that's a weird thought. I should do that or whatever. Sitting in church or with the church. See, I got enough Christianese in me now. Sitting with the church, listening to a teaching one Sunday. Young Christian. Just sitting there, the Holy Spirit saying, hey, that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Hey, we have a, might be different in a different country, different language, but it's, hey, huh? An idea. Payday weekend's coming up. Yeah. Go buy some groceries. Go down to the beach, cook all the food, and invite everybody to come and eat. This is in Oceanside. I was stationed in the Marines at Camp Pendleton. And go to this part of the Oceanside. It's the worst part. It's not so much anymore. They tore them all down, but it was all brothels, hotels, massage parlors, tattoo shops. It was on the north side of the strand of Oceanside, north of the pier. Go there and just cook it on a Saturday. I did. I told another buddy, he goes, well, I didn't hear the Lord say that, but I'll do it with you. Because in the military, in the 15th and 30th, sick, lame, or lazy, you get a paycheck. Bought some groceries, cooked up some burgers and dogs. And here's what I did. I didn't go cheap. I like, well, what would I like to eat? So I just bought what I like to eat. Good all beef hot dogs, good burgers, good this, good that. Because I'm going to be eating it too. And I sat down and I just started inviting people to come eat. Got to know pretty much all the prostitutes and pimps and drug dealers on that side of town. And twice a month, they would just come out, and I just threw a potluck for them. And then more and more people would just start from church, like, well, hey, you know, I want to, well, just buy some groceries and show up. Well, what should I bring? What do you like to eat? I like this. Then bring that. If you're hoping that food is there when you get there, if you bring it, you can fulfill your own prayer right now. You can answer your own prayer. And just go do it. That's why we do God's Not Brokes today. That's all I'm doing. 44 years ago, sitting with the other fellowship in a class on a Sunday morning, and God says, just, and to others, it seems like a weird idea. But have you been to one of our God's Not Brokes? Does it seem like a weird idea now? That's where it's gotten to. Because, so what's God showing you? You could just do that. You don't need a program from Calvary Chapel St. Paul, what has God called you to do? And then just start bringing people to this fellowship. So Lord Jesus, may we just do that. May we be still and know you are God. May everyone here cultivate that love language that you want to speak to each and every one of us with, that they know it's you. And come, Holy Spirit, teach everybody here. This is not an academic class. This is application. So come, Holy Spirit, teach each and every one of us to either, again, as Paul says, I fan into flame the coals of your heart to stir up you, those gifts that God's given you. Maybe some have laid dormant. Maybe some are just thinking, maybe I can do that. Hey, I take kids flying and share Jesus with them, and I got pagans coming along, and I get to share Jesus because of my love for flying and aviation, and I get to make lots of applications. So, Lord Jesus, just do that. I love to teach your word, and so I don't say I was going to be a pastor. I ended up here because this is what you have for me. Because I listened to one thing and went to the next thing and then the next thing. And so, Lord, just do that with each and every one of us here. It's got to start somewhere, or it's got to reignite somewhere. And may we just keep going forward. And just, if we will, it'll just produce fruit. It just does. So, Lord Jesus, do that work in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.